Hi, guys. Here's my morning routine. First, I drink olive oil. Next, I take an ice bath. Ooh, feeling super healthy.
If your health advice sounds strange coming from a kid, maybe it's just strange. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. Get $10 off select plans at Cygnos.com, Cygnos.com, with code SPARK. Cygnos.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
But and they can get wins. They can get. They can help your ERA. They can help your WHIP. They can help your strikeouts. I don't know. I guess I wouldn't want to get rid of wins because I know there's so many people that do and blow wins. But it's like we count that stat. I would rather add the quality starts. So then, you know, guys, you know, that go deep and then their teams blow it, they still get value for the quality start. But I don't know. That's me.
Add quality starts, get rid of strikeouts and go K per nine. That way those relievers help out a lot. How about that?
You could do that. Well, there's a lot of people that hate K per nine and want more like K percentage to exist instead.
Okay.
Of like,
that's K also okay.
Yeah. Which is totally fine. You can mess around with all the things all you want, but wins definitely do become a discussion.
It don't matter if we're in your fantasy world, Boggs. All right.
Yeah.
Wins are still number one.
Getting back to Strider here, Strider had a better expected ERA than his actual ERA, which is a huge standout here. 3.86 ERA is pretty good. Top 9 percentile, 3.09 expected ERA. Top 1% K percentage in baseball, 36.8%. Also, his expected batting average against was one of the better in the entire
league. First in baseball, among qualified pitchers, and when you separate by like 250 batted ball events, that gets you 162 starters, and he was first in expected BA.
He's a two-pitch pitcher that improved both sides of his main pitches and whiff percentage. He added a full percent on his whiff percentage on his fastball, while his fastball velo decreased a full mile per hour. He also lost a mile per hour on his slider, but that thing added over 3% to his whiff percentage, and he adjusted the usage, which was important. The other thing that he did was he started to mitigate a little bit of the two-pitch pitcher, and 7% of the time he did throw a changeup, and that had a 44% whiff rate, and people didn't know what the hell to do with that. Those are things love to see.
And that is when Strider is throwing and he's got that changeup to hit you with now, plus the slider, it just makes him more dangerous. And that was the big change that you saw in him, was dropped his four-seam percentage from 67 to 58.9. Didn't bump up the changeup huge, you know, less than 3%, like you said, 4.8 to 7.3. But the slider went up from 28.2 to 33.8. But when you have such a devastating fastball, when you mix more, that fastball is just, it becomes almost impossible to hit. So increased his whiff percentage, lowered his K percentage a little bit, but also his walk percentage as well. So one of the best in baseball. Gonna be like that until he has some major injury.
So. Overall, well, I think there's still questions with him. Overall, whiff percentage went up by around 4%. He also got the chase percentage outside of the zone overall going up. So, I mean, he just became such a better pitcher. The slider, too. So I want to look at this on the heat map. When you go 2022, the slider was covering that outer right portion of the zone where the fastball just heat mapped dead middle. Well, it moved a little bit up in the zone, but he also was able to just dump that slider below the zone even more, like consistently. And then he covered the other side of the plate with that changeup, which is exactly what you want to do. It's a great mix, and it kind of goes beyond the overall two-pitch pitcher. Not a ground ball guy, just a devastating fastball-slider combination player. And I guess, you know, you said like he's just going to be near the top. He is going to be near the top.
Look, his Sierra was a full run below his ERA from last year, 3.86 ERA to 2.86 Sierra. Like, this guy is improving, and he already has some of the best stuff. So a little unlucky last year as well. So, I mean, he's a stud. He deserves to be your first or second pitcher off the board for sure.
Yeah, I mean, he's mine. He's definitely going to be my tippy top guy. He did have, you mentioned this in our profile sheet here, home away split. He had a 4.35 at home ERA versus about a full run less on the road, which, I mean, I'll take that split sometimes, unless it's a really, really bad hitting environment, which I wouldn't claim Atlanta to be like a really bad spot. I'm going to check park factors here real quick. But like, if you struggle a little bit at home and you can really dominate away, that does make me feel a little bit better in this specific case. But Atlanta,
I think what it probably was he just had more run support at home. And from his teammates, they just played better at home. And then,
oh yeah, I mean, number one.
But when you get into the later innings, it's like, well, we're up by four runs. I can pipe some stuff here. You know, it doesn't really matter. So that may have been a factor as well. So,
well, one of the interesting things, I guess, Atlanta had the seventh most homers given up overall last year, and they were top 11 in park factor on the bad side when we're looking here. So. They were number 9, a 101 park factor.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number 1 checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
So it's a little bit more hitter friendly, I guess, is where it's going. And let's just take a look here for funsies, just for them, since we're here. Against righties, it was 12th. Which is, you know, a little bit higher than average as far as batters go. Against left-handed, it was 14th. So that's why, I mean, it's pretty dead even on both sides offensively for batters there. So I guess, again, back to my point, you would love, with such a bad home run factor, you'd love for him to be able to tap into ground balls a little bit more. Maybe if you start throwing a changeup, you can do that.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says...
In this league.
Hey, Farva.
What's the name of that restaurant you like with all the mozzarella sticks?
In this league.
Oh. But he's just such an overpowering slider fastball guy. People can't catch up to him. It doesn't matter. The whole point of this, he's very safe. He's worth the investment. I don't love the idea of having to take him inside any pitcher inside the top 10. NFBC drafts, you have it pointed that he is 8. He is the number one pitcher with a 7.9. So essentially 8 in drafts as of December 1st on NFBC. That's yeah. Spencer Strider. 2 pitches will do. And he made himself better while dropping velo. We'll take that. Number 2 on the NFBC board is Mr. Gerrit Cole. He pitched 209 innings this past year, 2.63 ERA. He had a full run worse Sierra. So Strider and Cole were exact opposites. Cole's production, his expected, you know, the Sierra numbers worse, where Strider's was a full run better. He had a sub 1 whip. He's the GOAT. 222 strikeouts, 15 wins this past year, 27.7% CSW percentage, which, by the way, Strider's was 33.8. So Strider just lives in this other tier. But Cole is going off almost from a tier difference, because this is the other guy in a 15-man league that is going as a first rounder, and 13.03. So, you know, the 13th overall pick. What do you want to add on Cole here?
Yeah, I mean, he did have a velo dip, his lowest velo since 2017, 96.2 miles per hour average, almost a full mile per hour different from 2022. The off speed and the breaking actually didn't move at all. 86.8, the exact same. I don't think and then half a mile per hour on the off speed stuff. But also, I mean, most other things went down. He gave up less hard hit contact as well. Fewer, strikeout percentage dropped by 5%. His walks also dropped by 0.5%. So that was nice. Swing percent minus whiff percent dropped a lot. 33.9% was the third best in his career, but it dropped to 26%. That is his lowest since 2017. So that's a little surprising. It's just, so when you're splitting hairs between Strider and Cole, to me, I'm going with Strider because all the underlying numbers say that he's improving slightly. Everything for Cole says that he's declining slightly. So give me Strider if we're, fighting over those two at the top.
Yeah, I'm not sure if there is a fight, but there still might be.
I'm sure there's a couple leagues where Cole's going to go ahead of Strider. So,
yeah, I mean, you're getting innings. You don't have to worry about innings. You also know, the pitch mix is out there. 2-pitch pitchers are scary. There's nothing about it. Strider is, again, he's kind of trying to redefine that, but everybody and their mother last year, Christian Javier is going to be this year's Strider, 2-pitch pitcher. He wasn't. He sucked. And it didn't work. It takes a lot for a 2-pitch pitcher to be as dominant, especially over, call it 200 innings. Interesting about Cole, his K percentage dropped pretty dramatically comparative, like 5% from the year, year over year, which was the lowest since 2017. The whiff percentage from a pitch mix standpoint, every single pitch he threw lost on whiff percentage. Fastball, 28, essentially 29 down to 22. Slider, 44% in 2022. Down to 32%. That's a huge dip. Curveball, exact same thing. They all had massive decreases, but he changed himself as a pitcher, probably, altering this pitch mix where he was pitching. Barrel percentage, he pitched to the lowest barrel percentage since 2019. So as you're maybe losing some of your whiff, you are figuring out how to pitch to these guys better, inducing weaker contact, not as good barrel percentage. So the numbers can still be there. But I'm going to guess so the whiff percentage loss and the increased Sierra, that kind of speaks to the underlying things speak to the Sierra being a little bit higher in general, and expecting he's getting it's essentially telling he's getting away with stuff. Like he's getting away with things that maybe he shouldn't be getting away with. Expecting batting averages were higher on a majority of pitches, higher expected batting average on fastball, much higher on slider from this past year. Actually, as I'm looking, every single pitch also had an expected batting average higher than the previous year. So there's just some warning signs that are sitting out there. Again, top 15, he's a GOAT. He gets massive innings where other guys don't. He stacks up strikeouts, but there are some stuff that's is he worth taking, over Strider? I wouldn't do it over Strider. I would chase strikeouts all day long.
Same. Yeah, 100%. And I think the same guy has a little, the next guy has a little of those same concerns from Cole in Corbin Burns. So, I mean, this is a guy who he had big home road splits too, 4-2-8 at home, 2-7-7 on the road. First half, second half, he improved greatly. 3-9-4 in the first half, 2-7-1 in the second half. His Sierra was over four. And in the top 20 pitchers, there's only three guys that had a Sierra over four. It was Burns, Snell, and Senga. That's it. So a little surprising, you know, looking at him also. Slight change in his secondary. Well,
here, let's give the stats real quick before we do that. We didn't even give any of the stats. 193, and then let's give those changes. 193.2 innings, big innings, 3.39 ERA. His Sierra, though, as you mentioned, quite a bit higher. Only guy in the top 15 with a Sierra that's over four. WHIP, still sustainable. 200 strikeouts, a lot more walks than in prior years. Almost a 29.2% CSW percentage, but quite a bit higher BABIP as well. So those are some of the just normal underlying stats. Also, I didn't even see, I wanted to mention it. Where was it? Wins, 10 wins, 8 losses with the Brewers. Definitely doesn't want to play for this team anymore as well.
By the way, you said higher BABIP, you meant better BABIP. 244 for him was actually, I think that's the lowest in the top 20. Yeah.
Was I looking at the wrong person? Oh, yeah. I was looking at the wrong person. I was 100% looking at the wrong person.
Wheeler. Well, Wheeler was.
Actually, I think I was looking at Wheeler's at 292.
Yeah, 292. Yeah, 244 for his was the lowest of all these guys. And that's like, that's one of those little warning signs. You know, it's just some of that is luck. Slight change in his mix of his secondaries, but he had the exact same 55.4% of cutters in 2022 and 2023, which is just a little weird. Slight dip in velo across the board. Big drop in WHIP percentage, 35.2 to 28.7. It's the first time in his career that his WHIP percentage was under 30%. So Burns, outstanding year, still a top five pitcher. No one's saying that. But again, a guy at the top that is most likely to show a little regression. Although 10 wins, that was weird. Like that was all of his luck, all of his good luck in his pitching took away from his wins. Only 10 wins. That's kind of crazy. So,
yeah, an interesting thing looking at, here's an easy fix for this too, but if you're looking at like success rates, his K percentage was down, second lowest of his career since his rookie year. Walks were up a tiny bit more. Part of that, let me compare the actual percentages here and see if that is true. Well, kind of. So his curveball percentage, his curveball batting average this year of 211 versus 263 the prior year. That's pretty good. 127 this year, 133 this year, expected batting average around the same. WHIF percentage is actually a little bit better this year. What's odd about that is he was throwing the curveball a little bit more in the zone this past year. The entire heat map of the curveball was outside of the zone. So at least people were whiffing on it. So I guess that's a positive. But the slider was outside the zone quite a bit more, and it lost
around throwing it for strikes.
Yeah, like he was throwing it for strikes the year before. It really hit that outer edge of the zone. You look at a heat map, there's not a lot of red in the zone, inside the zone. So it's sitting outside of the zone. It had a 193 batting average this year, 178. These are minimal things, but it had less of a whiff percentage overall, comparative year over year. And it's really just about him being more of a consistent, like pound the zone and then get guys outside. The cutter kind of did its same stuff. Change up was a little bit more in the zone.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
I think he's a good pitcher. Pitchers have weird variations of years. The wins wasn't like a massively repeatable thing either. Huge run value on his cutter, as he usually does. It's such a dominant pitch.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The snozzberries taste like snozzberries.
I'm freaking out, man.
You are freaking out, man.
Littering and...
Littering and...
In this league.
Break it down.
And I think it's building back up confidence. And he had like in crazy low exit velocities, 8th percentile of the league, while giving up only a 266 wOBA, which was top 9th percentile of the week's league. So weak contact, not great batting average against, with K numbers that kind of dipped. And it might have just been more about of his control, because that walk percentage worst over the last 4 years. So I'll still take Corbin Burnes. We're starting to get into a range where I like him a little bit more, but we're still in the second round, and that's where things are dicey. I don't really like a lot of these pitchers because of the high investment, and that takes us to Wheeler, where I think I'm a little bit different than the market on Wheeler, because I see some putting him at like 2 overall. Wheeler, 3.61 ERA, solid Sierra, 3.51, 192 innings. We like that. 212 strikeouts, 1.08 WHIP, 13 wins, 6 losses. 27.5% CSW, the lowest of this entire group. And as you mentioned before, BABIP, a little bit higher than the rest, but lower walk percentage than any of the guys we've talked about. So, Boggs, what else stands out on Wheeler? I feel not enamored with him yet, outside of a thing or here or two. The expected numbers relatively support Wheeler kind of across the board. Good K numbers, lowest walk percentage of his career. Expected ERA was 3.18. which is better than his actual ERA. So
his WHIP was, or Sierra, excuse me, was half a run below Corbin Burnes too, at almost 4.02 to 3.53 for Wheeler. And he dropped the cutter from 26.9% to 18.1%. He had a slight bump in four seam sinker. He almost scrapped the changeup. It was like 0.4%. He added a sweeper last year, which also had the highest whiff rate of all of his pitches at 39.2%. He threw it 12.4% of the time. He had a slump, a slight bump in velo across the board as well. So I think when we're looking at this and the trajectory of the Brewers, and I don't know, they seem to really be reacting negatively to Council being gone. And, you know, I think if they hit any bumps, they might start to tear it down here. So I think I'm going to go with Wheeler over Burnes.
Oh, okay. You lost me for a second when you started talking about the Brewers. I'm like, are we talking about Burnes here? I see what you're saying. So you're saying you like Wheeler over Burnes.
I think I do. Yeah. I think that's a change that I'm definitely going to make in my rankings, is, you know, the underlying stuff is just better for Wheeler. Yeah. I think the team context is better. The ballpark factor is bad, obviously, in Philly, but he didn't have any weird splits, Wheeler. So yeah, I think I'm going to go with Wheeler over Burnes.
Yeah, so ballpark factors. Oops, I'm on lefty still. Well, I will say this. Philly is the 5th worst ballpark factor for pitchers.
It's always
against lefties. Yeah. 117 homers on that side. So let's go to both here, or a 117, I'm sorry. Ballpark factor for both for Philly, as I'm updating this. Philly, not as bad as you think. It's about the Braves. It's almost identical to the Braves overall. Wobecon, the same. The score on homers are about the same. So it's a similar Strider-like environment, actually, coming in 12th in ballpark factor. So a little bit worse than average for a pitcher, but the point kind of sticks to it. Wheeler, a lot better than I think name value presents, but we're still in the high cost. So let's kind of actually get through these next three guys, and we'll kind of talk about this as a whole, because Cole and Strider, in my mind, they live in their own world.
Sure.
These are pitchers you have to invest in the first round. This next crew are pitchers that you have to pay attention to second to third round if you want to invest in. So, and by the way, this is based on NFBC stuff. Coming in at number 5, Luis Castillo with the Mariners, 197 innings pitched. So again, we got just great innings we're stacking here. 3.34 ERA, a worse Sierra at 3.74, WHIP highest of the group here, 1.10, 219 strikeouts, 14 wins, 9 losses, a 29 overall CSW. And I guess you don't have the expected on this sheet. I'll pull it up here in a second, but I'd be curious at expected ERA here. What else do you want to add to Castillo?
Yeah, I just added Sierra for Castillo. He mixed less, went with the fastball way more, 32.9% to 44.4%. He had a slight bump in his slider percentage as well. And he moved that from 21.1%. He dropped the sinker 23.8 to 17.9 and the changeup. His slight velo dip across the board, his highest barrel and hard hit percentage of his career. And if you just looking at expected numbers of all of these top guys too, there's a clear delineation between Wheeler and then the next group of guys of the three that you mentioned, Castillo, Gausman, Kirby, and below, just in terms of a lot of blue under barrel percentage and exit velocity and hard hit percentage was great for Wheeler, Burns, Cole, Strider. And then these guys start to be below average from Castillo on down. So,
yeah, as you mentioned, I mean, Castillo's big change, though, is going heavy fastball slider while implementing the rest, where he was an even like 30, then 20 percentage usages. And that just, I think, improved the overall percentages on the slider. I mean, the slider going up, it was a little bit heavier of a whiff percentage pitch. He's a major strikeout guy in general. Oddity, a ground ball percentage dropped to a career low. That's going to be something to watch. And that might be more oddity than anything else, though his expected ERA was 3.82. But check this out. Ground ball percentage, worst of his career by a million miles, 39.5% ground ball. He was 48% in 2022, 57 in 2021. Why is that? Sinker usage. You know, sinker usage went down. Sure. It was 23% this past year, or the year before, down to 17% this past year. Something to watch if he kind of tips back into that you can lower the ground ball percentage while maybe it'd be interesting to see, like, you know, what does go, because the sinker doesn't get strikeouts. 13.6% whiff percentage. It's just horrible. That's not what it's designed.
You're to inducing do. Weak contact with the sinker. That's the point of it.
Yeah. And check this out, to your point. He dropped the sinker, his barrel percentage, highest of his career, he's given up. Highest.
And hardest hit percentage as well. Yeah, hard hit percentage was also highest of his career.
41.8%. Those are correlated to the sinker. So what are we going to see? Is he going to keep going with that and take those big strikeout numbers? Or are we going to get back to the sinker a little bit year to year? I actually think he's pretty safe. You know, when you have solid defense with Seattle, you've got great ballpark factors. He can get back into the sinker. He's always going to have good strikeout numbers. I actually think, even though there's some oddity, you know, the barrel percentage hard hit was really bad, he can readjust. It's just, will he? I feel safe-ish about Luis Castillo. You mentioned Kevin Gausman. Kevin Gausman had 185 innings this past year, a 3.16 ERA, 3.34 Sierra, which is good. Very high whip, 1.18, at least for this crew, but 237 strikeouts. I believe that was second in baseball. High K numbers that he provided you, which you've got to love. 29.6% CSW, the second highest of anyone we've talked about to Strider, and the closest, 10.01 K per nine, as mentioned before. What else do you got on Gausman?
Yeah, for Gausman, I bumped the four-seam and split up, dropped the slider percentage, tiny velo dip in his four-seam and slider, but increased velo in the split. Hitters took more pitches. His swing percentage dropped from 55.9% to 49.3%. So as they were trying, I feel like he was missing so many bats, especially early, that team started to be like, all right, well, let's just make him throw some stuff, right? Let's get that pitch count up a little bit, because he had such a good year. So they started taking more pitches, but it also gave him more strikes. And he had, what would we say it was, 11.53 K per nine. Very, very high.
No, I think it was 10.01.
That's Castillo, isn't it?
Did I look at the wrong one again?
I think you did. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. It's tough for me to, like, when I scroll over, it's hard to find some of the stuff here. Yeah, you're right. 11.53.
Yeah. 11.53. And his BAPIP was bad too. 3.21. So, very, very, high in the strike percentage for him. Even though some of those other numbers weren't fantastic. But yeah, I mean, just solid pitcher across the board. Very, very good pitcher, Gausman.
He ended up having the seventh best K percentage if you look at pitchers who pitched at least 80 innings. There were only 10 that had a 30% K percentage. Gausman was one of those. And then if we look at K minus walk percentage, he was sixth in baseball as well. So 23.8% K minus his walk percentage, with a couple of interesting names. You know, obviously Strider above him, but, you know, Joe Ryan is there, stands out. Tyler Glass now. As we start getting
a high left on base percentage, 76.6%. Which would be, I think, third highest. High percentage. Left on base, 76.6. Cole was the highest out of the group that we've talked about so far at 80.4%.
Well, that's a low percentage because, like, left some on of these base? Guys. Yeah, 76. Oh, yeah. I think, like, the highs you see sometime are, like, in the 90s.
Well, no. For these guys that we're talking about today, that is.
Oh, the guys so far. It's
the It's the second highest behind, or third highest, because Casillo is 77. But, yeah, 80.4% for Cole down to 70. Yeah, but the rest of these guys, like, Wheeler was 71, Burns was 74, Strider was 70. So the elite guys don't, you know, they leave the strand runners. It's what they do. So, but his was higher than a couple others. That's the only one.
So some of the things you have to you ask yourselves are like, what do you, what do you believe? Yeah. What do you believe and what do you value? You know, he made the, let's see where the pitch percentages went for me. So he did the slider sweep. He had a little bit of a sweeper. It looks like he tried to start, they're registering the sweeper, but he barely threw it. But what he essentially did this past year, unless I'm seeing this incorrectly, is he scrapped the changeup. The changeup just went away, and it was slider, splitter, four seam, and much lower induced batting average against the four seam this year.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team.
Try a free sample of Berry Pie?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait, will this send me spiraling out of my routine?
Time to consult the online experts.
One bite will destroy your metabolism. Drink butter coffee instead to kill cravings.
What? Is it really that bad? I had protein this morning, right? Ugh, but it looks so good.
Only eat after walking 10,000 steps.
Pie is only 2 steps from here. Am I overthinking again?
Fruit ruins
never
insulin
eat after 7 p.m.
One cheat day.
Cut carbs.
Fast for 48 hours.
Stop it!
They don't know your body. Only you do. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. No fads, no fear, just your signal. Get $10 off select plans at Cygnos.com. That's Cygnos.com with code SPARK. Cygnos.
Covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Wait, let me explain something to you. I am not
in this league.
You're
in this league.
I'm the dude.
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Probably, you know, with the pitch mix changes, he threw the splitter a little bit more this year, which kept batters off. Slider went a little bit more. He's just a big strikeout option. Career high, 31, or actually second highest of his career, 31.1% K percentage overall, but it also induced some like hard hit numbers. So, you know, higher expected at batting average at 385. Maybe there are some whirlwinds that sit out there, but he just doesn't walk guys at some big crazy degree. He just potentially could have some higher inflated ERAs or possibility. The other guy, just to throw in the last one of that kind of group I was talking about, was George Kirby, as you mentioned. And George Kirby, 190 innings this past year, just absolutely phenomenal to see that. 3.35 ERA, a higher Sierra at 3.71, a 1.04 WHIP, second lowest of anyone we've talked about here, but only 172 strikeouts. That's something that has been kind of behind the eight ball on him. 2.92 BABIP was high, 8.12 K per nine was low, and only 0.9 walk per nine was low. So George Kirby's deal is phenomenal stuff that has not induced big strikeout numbers yet. He had a huge It had much bigger hard hit numbers against this past year, which is something to monitor, 115 max EV, but average stuff kind of stayed the same. Hard hit numbers went up. Coming back to it, my really big point of this is to say, like, he adjusted himself this year. He became more of a sinker pitcher with his four seam. It went from 12% to 21%, second most used pitch. He then went from his slide. He completely transformed himself as a pitcher. 8% usage of slider in 2022 to 19%. So he's four seam, sinker, slider. The problem is slider, 22% whiff rate. He doesn't have a pitch that he uses enough to induce massive strikeouts. He did start using a split finger a lot more, and that was his biggest whiff pitch.
Well, like I said, I think that the hitters taking those pitches, they were taking strikes, which, you know, because he had a much lower swing percentage and he was still hitting the zone or getting the calls, whatever it is, you know, and so he's getting these pitchers in, or these hitters in two strike counts quickly because they wanted to lay off and then just killing them with it. It didn't matter. Like, didn't matter what he threw. He's getting a good whiff rate on all of it, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think the biggest thing you can tell too, he hates to walk. He gets all pissy and cries about it when he doesn't walk, and you can see it in his pitch zone. Every single pitch has dead center of the zone. Like, literally, the only pitch that really hugs a zone is his split finger, which he threw from like less than 1% to 6% of the time this last year. He's got to find a way to adjust this. Like, he's throwing four seams kind of higher in the zone, sinkers a little bit too high in the zone, splitters got to start biting out of the zone. Curveball, it literally, heat map is in the zone. I would love to see him scrap the curveball, get the slider out of the zone, and throw the split finger 10% of the time, and maybe you see big numbers. Here's why I like George Kirby. He doesn't walk, guys. He's going to keep his ERA manageable all the time, and he is a command player that is a super, super smart pitcher. If he completely retransformed his pitch mix year over year, imagine he takes some of that data and he does it again and he optimizes himself. I just think, like, I think he could be one of the best pitchers in baseball, and I will invest in Kirby this year. I would love the strikeout numbers to go a little bit higher, and it's tough when you're like putting him in this range of Gausman, who's 11K per nine and stuff like that. But I don't know. I think he's just another adjustment or two away from taking that next big step. And he doesn't have the worries of the, you know, the Blake Snells or huge walk concerns like some of these guys have.
Yeah. Yeah. He really doesn't. I mean, like you said, crybaby, but very good pitcher.
Yeah. Is there anything else you had? I didn't know if you had anything on Kirby. Did you do the home away thing? That's a little, I don't love that.
Yeah, for Kirby, it was 2.70 to 3.98. So I just mark the difference if it's over a run difference in ERA on the home road. Neither one of those are bad. I mean, under four, especially on the road, is still very acceptable, but he just felt way more comfortable at home. And by the way, most pitchers did in Seattle this year, right? Wasn't Seattle one of the worst hitter ballpark factors in the league this year?
Yeah, let me see. I have that up. Yeah, I think they were 31st. So
yeah. So
yeah. Bad. So it was like
31st.
Maybe, yeah, 31st. Like, good for pitch, 31st for hitters. This is,
well, hold sorted on, but there's 30 teams.
So they have this thing where,
oh, they went to England and okay. Yeah.
Yeah. All so right. London Stadium had the fourth highest ballpark factor for hitters. Okay. It was super friendly, glad, but they also have Muncie,
we have
Bank
that included.
What was so, Muncie Bank ballpark?
Who knows? I don't know.
Okay. I don't know that they're the worst, but the Mariners were like right there. But they're the worst major league ballpark factor for hitters, which is good. The only thing I would note in 2021 or 2000,
oh, that was the Little League game.
The what?
The Muncie Park, where they played at the Little League stadium with the cornfield and all that crap. I think.
Okay. He didn't have these the home away splits in 2022. He had a 3.53 away and a 3.28 at home. And maybe part of that, like, didn't we just talk about the pitch mix with the sinker? What was his sinker usage this past year? And then the last thing, we'll move on from him. Sinker went 21%. Yeah, see, that's almost odd. Like, his ERA got worse at away even though he upped his sinker percentage. So that's an oddity, but I don't know. He's such a safe pitcher. I'm super into George Kirby. That is your top like 40. There's seven pitchers according to NFBC drafts that exist in there. You get into home leagues, it might alter a little bit. All right, so let's move through some more guys here. Zach Gallen, our boy Zach Gallen, 210 innings, 3.47 ERA, 3.67 Sierra, strikeouts 220 this past year, 28.5% CSW, pretty high BABIP, 9.5 K per nine, while not walking a whole bunch. Zach Gallen kind of reminds me of the guy that like you want Kirby to get to, but Gallen also had some inconsistencies this past year that you don't really love. His expected ERA, by the way, worst of his career, was a 4.16. That is a little worrisome.
Yeah, look, he's hittable, right? Because his fastball velo is averaging 93.6 miles per hour. So it's not like he's burning it in past you, and he throws it way more than anything else. So the book on Gallen should be sit on his fastball, but that is why his curveball and his changeup have such enormous whiff rates, and his cutter and his sinker, which he barely threw, also had whiff rates well over 20%. No, the cutter was just over 20%, but the slider, which he only threw 111 times a whole year, but had almost a 30% K rate. But the curveball, 40.6% whiff rate and 31.4% whiff rate on his changeup as well. So improvements there. The velo did dip for him on his fastball, just a little, 93.1 to 92.9. So just down, but the off-speed velocity went up a little bit and the breaking velocity went up a little bit. And that can make it harder because, like, you know, what Greg Maddux said about pitching so long ago is that, like, look, if I can release it from the same spot and it's, you know, a 10-mile-an-hour difference, doesn't matter if you know what's coming or not. You're not going to be able to hit it. You're screwed. You're going to have to be lucky. You're going to have to be sitting dead red in the certain spot and all that stuff. And that is, you know, it just shows that Gallen is crafty. He's not dominant. He's not going to blow you away with speed. He does it with his mix, and he mixes well and different, it seems like, every single year.
Yeah, I would say the one thing he needs to improve, though, is he needs to get not even necessarily the velo, but there might be a pitch mix adjustment that needs to start coming into play. Maybe the slider, you're doing a cutter and a slider, maybe adding a sweeper or something like that. Only reason I'm saying the fastball, just not only did he like lose volume on the overall, but it lost over 100 RPM on the spin. It lost that's significant spin, like 150. That's about what it was. That's significant spin loss, which made it more hittable. Look at this, almost a 5 mile an hour exit velocity increase against his fastball, 87.9 in 2022, 92.6 this past year. And the batting average exponentially higher against the fastball. So that thing is becoming a little bit So it'll be interesting to see what he does in the offseason and watch. Do we see an increase in the velo of the fastball, or do we see maybe something taking over a pitch mix or in addition to like a sweeper with the cutter?
And it's funny just looking like at the expected stats and all of that, the barrels that these guys gave. Of course, all of these guys are going to be very high and just straight up the number of barrels they gave up. But there is a clear delineation, like I said, between Strider, Cole, Wheeler, and Castillo, who are all, you know, 18, bottom 10%, bottom 32, bottom 32. But Castillo, Gossman, Kirby, and Gallen are all in that bottom 10% of barrels given up. So, you know, obviously, they're going to be up there because they throw a lot of innings, but they also give up some decent contact here versus those other guys, Strider, Cole, Burns, Wheeler, that top four. That's really its own tier, kind of. And the next guy, all of his underlying stats say that he should be in that elite tier.
Yeah, everybody is going to, from an expected stat standpoint, there's no and that's going to be a big fine line for a lot of people is, sure, what do you care about what underlying tells you versus, not to say that the production wasn't there, but we're talking about Pablo Lopez, because Pablo Lopez, 3.66 ERA. It's good. It's the second worst of any of the guys we talked about. 3.37 Sierra, good, whip, solid. 234 strikeouts, which we got to love that. Walk numbers were low. A 30.1% CSW, almost 11 K per nine was what that total was. But the point is getting into those expected numbers. An expected even 3 ERA.
Best in baseball.
Best in baseball. 2.69 expected WOBA, top 7%
first
in baseball.
In baseball. Among starters, that's first.
If probably you qualified. Because, yeah.
It didn't have a qualified thing there. So what I did was I separated the starters and the relievers by saying 225 batted ball events. That gave us 168 starters. He was first in expected ERA and first in expected WOBA.
One thing I can tell you if you go on Fangraphs and you change the qualifications to 80 innings, Tarik Skubal had a better expected ERA than Pablo Lopez. Okay. So when you're thinking about overall pitchers, I know like you think of Skubal as a big guy, but he didn't have qualified innings. He had an expected 2.28 ERA, but a better way to put it is like no pitcher with 100 or more innings had a better expected ERA than Pablo Lopez. And you also just look like the hard hit numbers were down. The barrel percentage, we kind of focused on the barrel percentage against, was down while he increased his fastball. He changed his mix. The sweeper was a game changer for him. 36.6% whiff rate, the best whiff rate of any pitch. And he wasn't throwing that last year. And he threw a changeup, sweeper, and fastball 20% or more of the time, none having a whiff percentage under 28%. So all we're saying is like that he's inducing massive swings and bats are not getting on it. Another fun one, his batting average against his fastball was worse this year than the year before at 268, but an expected 228 batting average against. So you just improved with a big old sweepy pitch, expected numbers through the roof, a fastball that looked like it could have got better, that added velo. It's hard to not like Pablo Lopez. And the only thing we have to avoid is his cost getting too expensive, because he does show up here with a 42 ADP on NFBC.
Yeah, top 50 player. And I think at the end of the day, how far up? Because you definitely put him over Gallen, right, Pablo?
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, fellas, here's how it works. $15 for it.
In this league.
What's this?
In this league.
If you have to ask, big man, you can't afford it.
$4 is a strikeout outlier, and Gilbert is a floor outlier with really low walk rates that has strikeout potential.
Yeah, I mean, look, these are still good pitchers we're talking about, but I do think that there is kind of a line. Maybe you throw the next two guys at 21 and 22 in with this group, then I think maybe there's the line.
So. Maybe, and those two are young, exciting pitchers that we will talk about in part two. There are still seven more pitchers that exist inside the top 100, and then we'll probably start, pairing some out as we profile as much as we can in the SP market. But we got you 20, so you should probably have at least one of these guys. And if you do yourself a favor, probably get two, but that is where you have to start finding your balance of, how and what type of pitchers are you pairing? What decisions did you make early on? Did you take on, maybe some walk risk on some players? With Tyler Glasnow, injury risk. Did you find a floor player? Taking Glasnow and Logan Webb, that might be a pretty sweet combo, if you're being honest. Or are you just going heavy and say, screw it, I'm taking Freddy Peralta and Pablo Lopez. I'm going high strikeouts. There's some good combos you can do, but those are where some of the profiles are looking. And you can find the ranks update coming in January. My SP ranks probably have the most work to be done, so you'll probably see a pretty heavy SP update happening in January. Bogman's will be here in the near future as well. You can be a part of mock drafts that we do. You can be a part of our community. These guys are setting up dynasty leagues, redraft leagues. When we do best balls or NFBC, that is how you can be a part of our community. We've always had one rule, is don't be a D. Be cool, be fun, have fun in fantasy. We believe that. So if you want to be like-minded people, come and check us out. You guys are supporting us when you do so, and we appreciate it. Lots of great stuff coming, but we still have part two of the SP profiles. So make sure you subscribe to the pod, and we will end that series out there. That is all that we have. One more pod before the end of the year. So for Bogman and the Welsh, it's In This League, and we'll talk to you next time right here on the show. Goodbye.
See you.